The ocean is full of sea creatures. And when you're swimming, you never know what kind of aquatic creature you're encountering. If it's a lemon shark, chances are you'll be fine. If it's a tiger shark, chances are you didn't fare so well. But you never know what you're dealing with until you feel the bite. The world is like swimming in the ocean. We encounter thousands of people in our lifetime, but we never know what their real intent is until we feel the bite. I'm Kevin Duncan, and this is What You Did. Tonight's story is called Mr. Shiny. I grew up in New York City. Not on the outskirts, but in New York City. My life was subways, street corners, waiting for the walk sign, and strange encounters on a daily basis. But even the weirdest characters weren't a match for a man that I call Mr. Shiny. Mr. Shiny lived in my apartment building, on my floor, a few doors down from my family. All the kids called him Mr. Shiny on account of his impeccably shined shoes. Even when he was dressed casual, in shorts on a hot summer day, his shoes were shined like he was about to go to the Oscars. I was in eighth grade. It was perfectly acceptable for someone my age to walk to and from school or a friend's house. Nowadays, we know better. But back then, the world seemed like a perfectly safe place, especially in a place with so many people like the Big Apple. It was summer when this all started. I had been playing at my friend's building all afternoon. Her building had a pool after all. So I walked the three blocks home as the sun beat down on me, drying me almost entirely before I even got to the lobby. The elevators in our building were few and very unreliable. We only lived four floors up, so I usually just took the stairs. I'd never had a problem in the stairwell, not in nearly a decade of living here. There's a first time for everything, I suppose. When I entered the stairwell, everything immediately felt wrong. You always hear these stories of people ignoring their instincts right before they get into trouble. I should have. The door shut behind me, giving me a small jolt. I didn't move. I heard something above me. Footsteps. Someone was walking down the stairs. I don't know why, but this set off all kinds of internal alarms in my head. "Hello?" I said quietly. I didn't actually want anyone to answer back, but I had to say it. I heard whispers as the slow steps above me continued descending. The stairs spiraled in a square shape upward. So if I watched long enough, I'd surely see someone pass by. I fixated on the third floor as the steps hit slowly. I could now make out some of the whispering. The voice was a man's, and he was saying, Becky Bear, where are you? Papa's coming with your shoes. He was saying it over and over and over. Suddenly, I saw a man walk past the third floor stairwell. I couldn't make out who it was. The footsteps continued to the second floor as the voice got louder. Becky Bear, where are you? Papa's coming with your shoes. The footsteps stopped before they would have passed the second floor door. I waited. I listened. I felt like I could hear my own heartbeat echoing in my ears. Why weren't my legs moving? What was I doing? A figure ran past the second floor door. Now the footsteps were coming down to my floor. Step. Becky Bear, step. Where are you? Step. Papa's coming, step. Papa's coming, step. With your shoes, step. The walking stopped. I stared at the side of the stairwell. Whoever it was standing right there. I could hear him breathing. Suddenly, I realized my feet were moving me forward, giving in to my brain's curiosity, but completely ignoring my fight or flight instincts. Flight. I choose flight. My feet weren't listening. My curiosity was in control. We always yell at people in horror movies not to go looking for what's around the corner, but I can tell you firsthand, when you're in that situation, you cannot help yourself. I reached the edge of the wall, took a deep breath, and peered around it. Nothing. No one singing a creepy rhyme, no one walking, nothing. No one. I whipped around, nothing behind me. I let the breath out of my lungs, knowing I'd put to bed the horror movie tropes. I spent the rest of the day gradually convincing myself that I'd imagined the entire incident. The more time that passed, the easier it was to reason with myself and brush it off. By the end of the day, I felt like someone zapped me with one of those memory-erasing sticks from Men in Black. That is, until my parents told me they were going out for a date night and left me money for pizza. Naturally, I pocketed the cash and made peanut butter and jelly instead. I was watching TV, the movie Breakdown with Kurt Russell was on. I'd seen this 100 times and was starting to doze off. My eyes were super heavy. I kept doing that thing where your head drops and wakes you up. One of the times I woke up, I thought I heard a loud bang. I listened. Bang. Now I was sure. Fear snapped me out of the trance. I walked over and put my head to the front door, after checking the locks, of course. I waited for what felt like 10 minutes. Nothing. I looked through the keyhole. All I saw was a tannish-looking blotch. Had someone crammed gum into it? I wasn't dumb enough to open the door, so I just kept looking. Suddenly, the blotch moved. Was it a bug? I watched as the blotch moved to the side, revealing another eyeball looking right back at me. I jumped back from the door. The knob jiggled from the other side. "What do you want?" I remember saying, loud enough for him to hear me, but soft enough that hopefully he didn't. I didn't really want an answer anyway. It was just a reflex. Thud. Something hit the door. "Hello?" Thud. Another hit. The hits got more frequent, every few seconds. I looked through the eyehole again and saw Mr. Shiny shucking shoes at my door, one after another with a completely frozen smile on his face. Shoe after shoe after shoe. What was he doing? He started chanting, "Becky Bear, Becky Bear, where are you? Papa's coming with your shoes." He got louder and louder until he was standing in front of my door screaming his little poem at the top of his lungs. Eventually, one of my neighbors called the cops. Apparently, he had dementia pretty bad and had been living by himself this entire time. A few weeks after he moved out, I noticed the door was left open by the cleaning lady one afternoon. I couldn't help myself. I entered. I figured it wasn't locked, so technically it wasn't breaking and entering. Just trespassing. Much less of an offense. That's probably just a slap on the wrist, I justified to myself. His apartment was bland and ordinary. There was a small, old model TV with an antenna, no cable, a singular reclining chair, and a few photos. In one of the photos was a much younger man with a beautiful young girl. Must be his daughter, maybe granddaughter. Maybe that's Becky. I put the picture back and something on the wall caught my eye. Some wallpaper was peeling off, and it looked like bright blue underneath. It glided off smoothly like the top of an ice cream carton. I saw blue sky and clouds. It reminded me of Andy's room in Toy Story. I pulled more off the walls, then more. And before I knew it, I had stripped all of the walls in the room of their bland wallpaper. What I saw was both heartwarming and mildly disturbing. The entire room was painted to look like an amusement park. There was a clear blue sky with cumulus clouds. There were rides, a Ferris wheel, cotton candy, and a sea of faceless people having fun. The only one who had a detailed face was a little girl on top of a young man's shoulders. She looked scared, sad even, like someone who had accepted her fate. I stepped closer to her face. The detail was surreal. She looked like she might turn her head and say hello at any moment. Her eyes looked heavy. Was she crying? I don't know why, but I reached up and touched just below her eye. That's impossible, I thought to myself. I brought my finger back and touched it against my thumb. My finger was wet. I had to get a picture of this. I jogged back to my apartment, grabbed my iPhone, and came back into the apartment. I stared down at my phone as I navigated to the photo app. And just as I looked up, expecting to see the mural, I saw an old man standing in front of it. His back was to me. He was staring at the little girl. It was Mr. Shiny. I thought he'd moved. They said he was in assisted living. Are you okay? I asked. He said nothing. Are you... He turned his head slightly to the side as if trying to hear me better. A chill ran up my spine like spiders. I needed to get out of here. I'm just going to go. Sorry I barged in. I turned and power walked to the door. Just before I reached the threshold, I felt a firm hand on my shoulder. I stopped. I don't know why I stopped. I could have broken out of his grip and made it into my apartment. But again, my legs betrayed me. I turned and looked at him. I was greeted with the biggest, creepiest, most horrifyingly sincere smile I had ever seen. He was looking at me like a grandfather playing peekaboo with his granddaughter. It was an over-smile. Silly and way over the top. All I could think of was the Cheshire Cat in Alice in Wonderland. Did you need something? I asked. Someone I could call, maybe, or... He stared. I swear his smile got even bigger. And then it vanished. His demeanor sunk to being stoic, accusatory, angry. Did you remember your shoes? He said softly under his breath. Shoes? I asked. You didn't forget them, did you? He stepped closer to me. And I responded with a backpedal myself. Did you remember your shoes? You can't run without your shoes. I kept moving backwards. Hey, listen, I think there's some confusion. I'm just gonna go, so sorry for your loss or whatever you're going through. Loss? He said, almost shocked. What loss? She's gone? His eyes welled up, and then his face contorted to anger again. She didn't have her shoes. She couldn't run. I didn't know what to say to him. I just started rambling. She couldn't run, he repeated. Sir, please, you're starting to. She couldn't get away, he said. I turned and ran to my apartment. He continued walking towards me as I fumbled with my keys. Why did I have so many? Why did I even lock the door behind me? She couldn't get away. She couldn't run, he continued to say. He was nearly close enough for me to feel his breath when I found the key. I shoved it into the lock, threw myself inside and slammed it shut, securing the deadbolt and taking 3 steps back from the door. I listened. Silence. I climbed onto the couch in the TV room, got under a blanket, and fell asleep. In retrospect, I don't know why I didn't call the police. I think I didn't know what I'd be reporting. Me trespassing on someone's property? Finding a mural under some wallpaper? A confused old man? It didn't seem worth it. I woke up the next morning hungry and still in my clothes. My neck ached from laying on the couch funny. I walked over to the door, took a deep breath, and looked through the keyhole. Nothing. I opened the door slowly and stepped into the hallway. Empty. Quiet. I looked down, and sitting right outside of my door, facing my door, was a pair of impeccably shiny shoes. No owner, just the shoes. At this point, I felt bad. These shoes were the entire identity of Mr. Shiny. We didn't even know what to call him without them. I picked them up, went to the front desk, and found out which assisted living facility he was living in. I brought him the shoes that afternoon and sat down to talk to him. I asked him why he left his shoes at my house. He said something under his breath that I couldn't understand. I leaned forward and asked him to repeat it. "For you, Becky Bear, you can't run without shoes." He was confused. I honestly felt bad for him. I handed him his shoes and headed home. When I got home, there were swarms of NYPD cars outside of my building. A policeman stopped me from entering. I asked him what was going on. He said someone went into my building and went into a rampage, hitting residents with a baseball bat. On my floor. Luckily, no one was killed. Then it dawned on me. If I hadn't brought Mr. Shiny his shoes, I would have been home at the time of the incident. I couldn't help but think he had inadvertently saved my life. It had to be coincidence. After all, he left the shoes for Becky. My name is Lex. I'm older now. I grew up, moved out of the city, fell in love, and got married. And took my husband's last name, Dekye. That's spelled D-E-K-Y-E. That's important. I'm a teacher. One day we were doing an assignment where we were writing letters to our heroes. One of my students, a young girl, decided to write her letter to me. It was such a sweet, flattering gesture. I brought the letter home to show my husband. He looked confused. "It's not to you," he said. "What are you talking about?" I asked. He pointed to the header. It said, "Dear Mrs. Becky," spelled B-E-K-Y. That student always mixed up her D's and B's, and it never dawned on me that confusing that one letter essentially made my last name Becky. I remembered what Mr. Shiny told me as a kid. "Because, Becky Bear, you can't run without shoes." While I didn't wear them, those shoes did help me escape a potentially dangerous scenario. I don't believe in paranormal things or psychics or any of that, but even this is beyond my explanation. I don't know what happened to Mr. Shiny. I sure as hell don't know what would have happened to me if he hadn't left his shoes. But wherever you are, Mr. Shiny, I hope you're at peace, and I'm forever grateful for what you did. I'm Kevin Duncan, reminding you to keep your eyes open for yourself and others, because you never know what's around the bend.